Today's programs are sponsored by Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis. This two-year, 24/7 discipleship process challenges students to allow God to take hold of their hearts through the daily, in-depth study of God's Word, servant leadership, local ministry, and international mission experience. You may contact Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis by calling 317-823-2349. Thanks to Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis for their support of Christian Radio.
CCBCI at ccbci.org.
Do I truly understand the depth of the liberty that we have in Christ Jesus? I can only speak for myself, and I would say, no. I want to draw close to you because it says, if I do that, you'll draw close to me.
Welcome to Journey Through the Word, a teaching ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. Today, Bill Goodrich, pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship, continues his teaching verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book through the Bible in this edition of Journey Through the Word.
Open your Bible, please, if you have one, to Galatians chapter 5. You will notice on the screen there, the title of this message is Stand Fast in Liberty. We have been given great liberty in Christ today. Are we standing fast is a question. The subtitle that I put on this, our roadmap to victory. Our roadmap to victory is right there on the screen to your left or right. Stand fast in liberty. And Paul's driving through, as he goes through, as we've been studying Galatians, we know that there's a repeated theme. There's a theme that goes all the way through, that the law only takes us so far, and that we need the grace of God. And I thank the Lord, don't you, for grace? For the grace of God. And so he's challenging us, and he's going to challenge us a little bit further here. Do we understand what he is saying? But to understand chapter 5 as he moves in to closing out his letter to those in Galatia, and chapter 6 we get there, he's making a transition, but he's going to ask us a question, and we'll look at that in just a moment. But look at verse 30 of chapter 4, because you can't really understand chapter 5 unless you go back to verse 30 and 31. Paul says, nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? What does the Scripture say? We want to know that. And so as we studied last week, we talked about this truth of Scripture that we see in Genesis chapter 21. Cast out the bondwoman and her son. Now that represents the law. We don't want to try to make it into heaven by following the law. We do not want to try to maintain our salvation after we've given our heart to Jesus by following the law. As we know, Jesus said, it is finished. Jesus said that I will send another just like me. And on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, we see that the Holy Spirit came to dwell inside of us. He's a person that lives inside of us. It's important that we understand who he is and how he works in our lives and how we can depend upon him, because he's the one that will take us through to the day that we'll be with Jesus Christ. And so the challenge is, cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. And so Ishmael leads to bondage, representing the path of trying to do it under our own power. Isaac represents the path of simply by grace, accepting what Christ has done for you and I. And then verse 31, he says, so then, because of this, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of who? Of the free. Today we're free, and we're going to talk about that. But notice verse 1. He transitions right into this in the heart of the message, and I'll end this message with a story that I pray that will be a blessing to you. He says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. The work is done. It's been accomplished on the cross. It is finished. Now comes the wonderful privilege of accepting that work into our lives, but then comes the responsibility that we have to make good choices. Stand fast. We're going to talk about that principle. In the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Chapter 5 is called the freedom chapter. Freedom from the bondage of the law. And we must stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Now, I have three questions for us to consider. I've had the privilege of considering these questions this week. Question number one, do you, do I, truly understand the depth of the liberty that we have in Christ Jesus? Do you, do I, really understand the depth that is there? I can only speak for myself, and I would say, no, I want to, Lord. So, Lord, I want to get into your word more. I want to hear from you. I want to draw close to you because it says, if I do that, you'll draw close to me. I want to depend upon the power of the Holy Spirit so you can take me more so into the depths of the liberty that I have in you. And it's not a license to do anything I shouldn't do, but there is a special relationship. Question number two, do you, do I truly understand how easy it is to turn back and become entangled again with the yoke of bondage? It's easy, I would say. I find that in my life. I have the ability to make a decision, to choose. God has set out that path. Jesus is the only way. He's the truth and he's the life. And in that promise, I have so much that has been given to me. And that path is very narrow, but the road to destruction is very broad. I find with me, let me speak for me. I don't know about you guys, but I can find that I can wander very simply from the left to the right. I had a situation yesterday, and I'll tell you in a bit about it, and a choice that I made. Where would I stand in that? And question number three, I was thinking about this week. Are we standing strong in the freedom that is found in Christ Jesus? Are we today standing strong? It means to stand your ground. We know that. That's a military principle. I've been reading through three books concerning the Civil War. And over and over and over, from Gettysburg to the wars as it was being fought after that, it talks about that principle of standing your ground. And remember back in those days, they had the warfare where they would all line up this big line and they would advance into the enemy just shooting at you. And I thought, bizarre, there's a better way to fight. What was wrong with you guys back then? You know, but they would do that. But then when one part of the line got broken down, they wanted to close it up as quick as they could. Because they knew it was important that they stand in unity. They stand in a line. And then they go towards the enemy. Stand also means hold your own. It can also be translated to establish. To be established in something. To no longer retreat. That's why I asked that question. Do I truly understand the depth of the liberty that Christ has been given to me? And do I truly understand how so easy it is to turn back and become entangled again? Romans chapter 5, verse 2 says, we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us three times to stand against the schemes of the enemy, to know that. And so there is this wonderful relationship that we have today that we have, but we are given liberty that is amazing. Look again in verse 1 of chapter 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, on the screen, you're going to see a verse in the NIV version of Scripture. That's the nearly inspired version, but we'll get by with this today, okay? You know, don't tell anybody, all right? Notice what it says. It says, it is for freedom. Notice that. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Why did Christ do what he did? To set us free, to be free in him. Then it goes on, stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke. Notice what it says, of slavery. The word bondage translates into slavery. Very important. Stand fast. Stand firm. Be steadfast to persevere. Very important we would do that. There's another scripture. Be on the screen here. It's out of 1 Samuel chapter 12, verses 20 and 21. It says, "Then Samuel said to the people, 'Do not fear. You have done all this wickedness. Yet do not turn aside from following the Lord.'" Many times we look and we come to positions and we go, "Yuck. I'm just yucky. I feel that way. Just yucky." Yesterday, this is what happened. I've been thinking about putting in some granite countertops, that's it. So we've been pricing it out, and it's been come this project that we're just driving ourselves crazy with. It should be simpler than this. And so we go down to a certain place, and we've got this bid from this one person, and he gave us the bid. He showed us the price, and I said, "Is this it? This is the price. This is what we deal with. Nothing to surprise us. Well, you got to buy a sink. Okay, we can do that. Nothing to surprise you, right? Nothing. And so we left him, and we went to pick out the color of the granite and all that. Well, you know that can be a major job, you know, just picking it out, okay? Not on Vice part, my part, okay? So it can be a major job. So we finally did that yesterday, and we were so excited, and we go back to this place. If I mention the name, you would all know, and I'm not just going to mention. So anyway, I go in there, and the guy that we go to, he was busy. So we're given another very nice person. But as we're talking to this very nice person, she goes, "Oh, he forgot this." That was 250. Okay. And, "Oh, are you going to I thought that came with the price. That's what we were told. Oh, no. Here, that's another 250. Okay. And so by the time we were finished, it was about another $1,000. And when she did that, and I was supposed to, you know, I was back in the Navy, back when the ships were made of wood and men of steel, you know, and all the, you know, and they said, "Well, you have a 10% discount because you were in the Navy." Really? There's some benefit for me being a swabby? I can't believe that. You know, an anchor clanker and all that. Yeah, okay, I'll take the 10%. She took it away. And I thought, my goodness, this is not right. And it just kept going like this. And all of a sudden, I just felt myself being frustrated in the midst of this. Anybody can bear witness with that? Yeah, you know. And so I felt it just coming inside of me. And before I could do anything that I would be very sorry for, I just said, "We got to leave. I got to think about this." And I just got up and walked out. I didn't say thank you or anything that I remember. And I just walked out. "Come on, bye." And bye goes, follows me right out. So all the way home, I'm thinking about this situation. And I'm thinking about it. I didn't handle that well, did I? You know, and the Holy Spirit is just speaking to me. And then the Holy Spirit, "What happens if she shows up for church tomorrow morning?" It's a narrow road from where I stand and all that. So I knew what I needed to do. I called her back and said, "Please forgive me. I was impatient." And then she said, "So nice of you to call." And I said, I thought that was sweet. I'm not going back though. You know, it's so easy to get entangled, isn't it? So easy to get entangled. It's an amazing thing that we see. Do not become entangled with a yoke of bondage. Don't turn and go back into slavery. Legally, a slave, what Paul is reminding them of, legally, a slave belonged totally to his master, and he had complete control over him. That's what he's saying. If you want to go back to that master, he's got total control over you. His status was no greater than an animal. That's what it was back then at that point. Think about it. If this is true, why would we ever want to go back under the law of works again? It leads to bondage. But it is wonderful to know that we do not have to turn back. That Jesus said, "Whom I have set free is free indeed." That's a promise that we have. So I'll take freedom, not bondage. Stand fast, therefore. We must stand fast, as we talked about that. To stand firm. Persevere. Therefore, in the liberty, there's a liberty for you and I today, by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't go back into the sin, trying to fulfill. Oh, Galatians, who has bewitched you? You started so well. Why would you turn back? Paul in verse 2 says, indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, if you go back into practicing Judaism, Christ will profit you, what's the next word? Nothing. If you want to do it, go ahead back in it. There's a danger, he's saying, though. You see, to the Jewish mindset, circumcision was absolutely necessary for salvation. They felt that this was the only way a person could become a son of Abraham, a son of the covenant. But here Paul was refuting that belief in a very direct way. He says, remember, it is totally by faith. It will profit you nothing. There will be of no value whatsoever, Paul's saying. The Amplified Bible puts it this way. For if you distrust him, you can gain nothing from him. That's pretty strong. Nothing. Nothing is what? Nothing. Not a little bit. I go back and I go back a little bit and I just changed a little bit this or that, that what's found here in the scripture as far as salvation and how I walk with the Lord, and I'll change it a little bit because it feels good and it's a nice thing and it makes me feel this and everything. But if it's not according to scripture, it will nothing. It has no value whatsoever. He goes on in verse 3 and he says, and I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised, goes back into the Jewish tradition, that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. Man, save me from that, Lord. Paul expressly addressed this to the uncircumcised Gentiles, that if they allowed themselves to be circumcised, they would have to keep the law completely. Thus, they would have no claim on Christ, no claim whatsoever. No claim on Christ. There's no middle ground. You find that? There's no gray area in the issues of God. Salvation is strictly by grace. He goes on in verse 4. He says, you have become estranged. That's what you are, from Christ. Notice where it's from. That word means you have become alienated. You have become severed. You were brought to nothing, Paul's saying. From Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. Man, what he's using here, strong language. You have put, literally he means, outside the range of grace. If you want to go back to the law, go ahead. If you want to try to maintain your salvation by the works of the law, you go ahead. Not saying we're not supposed to do good, because we're going to see that we are to do good things in love. But you have put yourself outside of the range. Paul was saying that they had absolutely no hope of salvation. If you want to do that and you want to go that direction, you're not going to be saved if you're unsaved. And I guarantee you, it's not going to strengthen our walk in the Lord. Notice in verse 5, he says, for we through, here it comes, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. I love this verse. I really do. A question, though. Are we eagerly waiting for the return of Jesus Christ? It literally means be on your tiptoes. Now, how many have ever gone down to an airport to pick up somebody you love and you want to see, and you know, a family member? How many? We've all done it. No, you guys, other guys don't care if anybody comes. No, you know, I feel left out here to dry. Hang up. Anyway, I've experienced it. Let me tell you my experience, okay? I'm just there, and it just happened to me. Thanksgiving, our kids were coming in from Colorado. You know, and it's nice to see my daughter. It's nice to see my son-in-law. I really love them, but they were bringing along three special blessings: Zion, Jaden, and Aria. So excited. So we were down there, you know, and we're just walking back and forth. Vi's just standing there cool, calm, and collected. But I know down deep she wasn't, okay? But I'm just back and forth. I'm looking, and wrong flight. It's got to be the wrong flight. They're not coming down there. And you know how you can go in the Indianapolis airport, and you can look down, that you position yourself enough, you know, you can look right straight down there, get a peek, you know? And that's looking like this, being excited. There they are. You know, and your heart just jumps. Then you act all cool, calm, like, I'm all right, you know? I'm not that eager. Anybody, that's just me, I'm playing the game. But then they come and just want to get a hug. Do we want to just get a hug from Jesus? Can we wait? Hardly wait for that moment? That's what Paul's saying right there. Look at that. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. It truly is. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. But notice it is by faith, totally by faith. In verse 6, he says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision, the Jewish law, nor uncircumcision, the things that the Gentiles would follow, avails anything. It has no value. But notice what he says, but faith working through love. How powerful that is. Faith working through love. Faith that expresses itself in love. Both Jews and Gentiles were numbered among the Galatian Christians. Their salvation, regardless of ethnic origins, came about because of true faith, which became effective, this is what Paul is saying, by love, through the Spirit's work. Christ's self-giving love fills those who believe. And such love again expresses itself in the ongoing daily life of the Christian. In all his letters, Paul always stressed that the faith that is alive is the faith that is lived in daily life in love. In love. That's why if we get in a situation like I got in the situation, and I don't think it's fair to be charged $1,000 more than we said, but how did I respond? Did she sense love, or did she sense somebody getting boiled up and I'm out of here? This is the second one. And that's not weird to do that. It's in love. Notice he says, look at verse 7, please. This is very important. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Look at that verse and underline and put stars. You were running a good race. You were once making good progress. You were following the truth of salvation by God's grace alone. Then something happened. How many have ever been riding down the freeway and somebody cut you off? Anybody? Okay. How do you guys react? Boy, if I had a big Hummer, you know, if I had a tank, you know, a big pickup truck, I'd get right on the back of them and show them for cutting me off. Okay, so I'm fleshly. So fleshly. You ran well. You were running a good race. This literally means that you were cut off. You were cut off. Those who run in races sometimes try to gain advantage over others by cutting in front of them as they run. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, it says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it." There's going to be challenges as we run this race, for sure. People are going to cut us off trying to get an advantage of us. Things aren't going to go exactly the way that we want to go. This is our hope for our kids. For our kids, and they're going this way. It's going to feel so abrupt. It's going to feel like we've been cut off in certain ways. Yeah, one time we were making good progress. Yeah, one time they were making good progress. But things happen, unfortunately. Notice we're encouraged in here to obey the truth. Who hindered you from following the true truth of grace alone is what Paul is saying. It's an important thing. Verse 7 again, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Something has happened in your life. Be careful, because there's those opportunities, as I mentioned. They'll be there, it seems like, each and every day. In verse 8, he says, this persuasion, in other words, this evil persuasion, does not come from God who calls you. It doesn't come from God. But notice in verse 9, he goes back and says, be careful, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Is that not true? Just a little leaven, a slight inclination to error, a few false teachers that you allow into your life. It perverts the whole conception of faith. It can possibly mislead a whole church, definitely an individual. A little leaven that is allowed in. We must be very careful that we stay on the straight and narrow, that if we build our lives upon a rock, then it will stand, and that we don't build our lives upon the sand, because it won't be able to withstand. There's a choice that we have, Paul saying that. A little leaven leavens a lump, be careful. But look at verse 12, I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. If there's somebody that troubles you, there's somebody that has a false doctrine, if it comes across the TV, if it comes across the radio, if it comes across a person knocking on the door and saying, I'm a Christian. And they have their set scriptures that they'll go through to prove, quote, they're a Christian, but in reality, it's another Jesus. I hate to put it that way. It's another way that they present for salvation. Be careful. Be careful, because they're there. It's very, very dangerous. That's what Paul is saying right here. You have no other mind, that you will adopt no other view, he's saying. Be careful, because those that bring in other views will suffer a penalty. In verse 11, he says, and I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, Paul's just saying what he was experiencing, because they were saying that he was preaching circumcision and he wasn't, that you needed to be circumcised to be saved. If I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? If that's true, I wouldn't be persecuted by the Jews. Today, if you want not to be persecuted, don't talk about Jesus. Don't talk about Jesus. But if you want resistance, talk about Jesus. And we should do it in a loving way and all that. It's so simple. We can just step back, not very far whatsoever. On Wednesday night, just a beautiful Bible college student was just giving her testimony. And it was new for her and all that. And I watched her. She was right here, standing right here like this, you know, over in the fellowship hall. And then as I was watching her, she was sharing. She all of a sudden was here, you know, because the people were out there. And she started getting a little bit nervous and all that. Then next thing I knew, she was here. And then when I was watching, she got right here. She couldn't go any further. And then it just clicked in her. Then she went back right here, you know, and she just went for it, you know. We got to be careful that we don't step back because of the pressure of the world. We don't step back because somebody brings something in that's just not right. The Holy Spirit will warn us. Paul is saying, be careful. If I still preach circumcision, danger. In 1 Corinthians 1:23, it says, but if we preach Christ crucified to the Jews, it's a stumbling block. But we preach Christ crucified to the Jews, a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, foolishness. I could wish, verse 12, that those who trouble you would cut themselves off. This is a strong, literally, Paul is saying that he wished they would mutilate themselves. Have you ever felt that way? In a godly way, you know? That's what Paul's saying. Strong language, but we should all feel this strongly when someone tries to deceive God's people. You know, if somebody comes in and trying to deceive your loved ones, how about your kids? They'll do that. There'll be somebody trying to do it. They're targets of the enemy if they know Christ. And so they'll come in many ways. And sometimes we just have to stand and say, hey, you know, you're not going. In love, I'm going to tell you this is the way it is. But in love, you can't go there. I will not let you do that. We stand strong in verse 13. I love this verse. Circle it, underline it. For it says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity to flesh. Oh, that we would not do that. We have liberty in Christ, so I'm going to walk carnally, fleshly. No, he says, but through love, serve one another. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. That's the call in our life. You wonder what your calling is? To liberty, to be free. Only to not use liberty as an opportunity for flesh. Don't take advantage of that, but through love, serve one another. That's what he's simply saying to us. Called to be free, called to salvation by grace alone, but do not use your freedom to indulge your sinful nature an opportunity to excuse, or an opportunity or excuse for selfishness. Look on the screen there, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 15 through 16. Peter says, for this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of Jesus Christ. Paul's talking about self-giving love. Serve as a bondservant to one another. We become other people's slave, is what Paul's saying. He's the one that's saying, and not me. And then in verse 13, he says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Remember, Jesus put it all together, love God and love your neighbor, and that fulfills all the law and the prophet. So he brings him to that point. Then he closes this section, and we'll close here and take communion after I share with you a story. It says, if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. He is taking them into the amphitheater of the Roman city. All the major cities had an amphitheater. And as we know, we've studied it, they would go, I can't imagine why they would do this, but they would go into this amphitheater and they would bring what they considered criminals or Christians or whatever it would, and they would place them down there and they would release the animals. And then they would have to fight there or lose their lives. And so when the animal had the victory, they just chewed them up. And that's what he's literally saying here. That's what he's saying. But if you bite and devour one another, that's what you're going to go do. Beware lest you're consumed by one another. Not going to go that way. Very important. Our challenge that even in the midst of people being unkind, we are to continue to love as Jesus would. Amen? You guys ready for the story? Okay, here it is. It's called Pushing Against the Rock. And it ties in with steadfastness. There was a man who was asleep one night in his cabin when suddenly his room was filled with light and the Savior appeared. The Lord told the man he had work for him to do and showed him a large rock in front of his cabin. The Lord explained that the man was to push against the rock with all of his might. The man did, day after day. For many years, he toiled from sun up to sun down. His shoulders set squarely against the cold, massive surface of the unmoving rock, pushing with all of his might. Each night, the man returned to his cabin sore and worn out. You ever been there? Sore and worn out, feeling that his whole day had been spent totally in vain. That's how he felt. Seeing that the man was showing signs of discouragement, Satan decided to enter the picture, placing thoughts into the man's mind, such as, "You've been pushing against that rock for a long time, and it hasn't bulged. Why kill yourself over this? You're never going to move it," etc., etc. Thus, giving the man the impression that the task was impossible and that he was a failure. He hadn't moved the rock. These thoughts discouraged and disheartened the man even more. "Why kill myself over this?" he thought. "I'll just put in my time, giving just the minimum of effort, and that will be good enough." And that he planned to do until one day he decided to make it a matter of prayer and take his troubled thoughts to the Lord. "Lord," he said, "I have labored long and hard in your service, putting all of my strength to do that which you have asked. Yet after all of this time, I have not even budged that rock a half a millimeter. What is wrong?" Anybody ever been there with an issue in your life? There's this rock, and God has placed that rock in front of you. It can be many things. It could be even our children. They haven't budged. "Why am I failing?" To this, the Lord responded compassionately, "My friend, when long ago I asked you to serve me and you accepted, I told you that your task was to push against the rock with all of your strength, which you have done. Never once did I mention to you that I'm expecting you to move it. Your task was to push. And now you come to me, your strength spent, thinking that you have failed. But is that really so? Look at yourself. Your arms are strong and muscled. Your back broad and brown. Your hands are calloused from the constant pressure, and your legs have become massive and hard. Through opposition, you have grown much, and your abilities now surpass that which you used to have. Yet you haven't moved the rock. But your calling was to be obedient and to push and to exercise your faith and trust in my wisdom. This you have done." And then the Lord said, "I, my friend, will now move the rock." Isn't that a wonderful story? I think it is. That's what the Lord is telling us. Stand fast in what God has given us. At times it won't seem like it's working, but he hasn't asked us to move the freedom of choice of a person, because we can't do that. You ever try to do it for your spouse? It don't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't work for anything else. But if he tells us to keep pushing in a nice way, in a healthy way, then we'll trust that he'll move that obstacle that is there. The result of standing fast, Christ will complete the work. Jesus moved the rock at the cross. He removed the law of works. He has given us the law of God through Jesus Christ. It is that we are saved through faith by grace alone. Praise the Lord. We're going to celebrate that and take communion now. This is not of our doing. It is a gift of God, not of works. Otherwise, we would be boasters. We would try to do that. So may we be encouraged today, as Paul simply says, look at verse 1 again, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Sometimes he takes us to the nth degree. He takes us to the 11th hour, the 59th minute, the 59th second. There he meets us. Sometimes it's so hard we push and against it. We make a stand. We stand there. "Lord, where is the victory? Decades have gone by, Lord. I don't understand that." And he just says, "I've called you just to be my witness, just to do what I've asked you to do. And would you please just trust me and look forward to my return and watch what I'm going to do in the midst of it." Father, we thank you so much for truth that is found in Christ Jesus. We thank you that Jesus pushed against that rock, and he was victorious. Today we want to fall upon that rock, which is Jesus. Today we want to stand strong and build our foundation upon that rock, which is Jesus. As we continue to go forward, Lord, may we never vary from the rock of your word. May we stand strong. And so we love you and thank you, Lord. Thank you for just, it seems to be so simple, but yet it's not. But in reality, in the spiritual realm, it is. It's done. And we are to be confident of this very thing, that which you have begun in our lives, it's a good work. It's you who will continue it. Take us deep into that, Lord. As we take communion now, may we just say thank you for the victory that's found in Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Bill will continue his teaching in our next broadcast. Journey Through the Word is a listener-supported ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. We appreciate your prayers and support. If you would like more info about Horizon Christian Fellowship, you may call 317-823-2349 or visit us at horizonindy.org. Please join us next time when you'll hear the pages turn and journey through the Word. Journey through.